Hello, future billionaires. Welcome back to another episode of the Invest Like a Billionaire podcast. We've got a top of mind episode for you. Bob, what are we talking about?
Okay, the inflation numbers are out and inflation is down. So time to do the victory dance. Time to see the Fed lower rates and refinance your mortgage. Okay, find out the real scoop.
This is the Invest Like a Billionaire podcast, where we uncover the alternative investments and strategies that billionaires use to grow wealth. The tools and tactics you'll learn from this podcast will make you a better investor and help you build legacy wealth. Join us as we dive into the world of alternative investments, uncover strategies of the ultra wealthy, discuss economics, and interview successful investors.
Looking for passive investments done for you? With Aspen Funds, we help accredited investors that are looking for higher yields and diversification from the stock market. As a passive investor, we do all the work for you, making sure your money is working hard for you in alternative investments. In fact, our team invests alongside you in every deal, so our interests are aligned. We focus on macro-driven alternative investments so your portfolio is best positioned for this economic environment. Get started and download your free economic report today.
The CPI numbers just came out, Consumer Price Index, and we're running about 3.1%. So, generally people are seeing that as positive. Of course, the Fed wants to see it at 2%. Now, we are talking about apples and oranges a little bit because the Fed looks at PCE, not CPI. So they are different calculations, but, it's still a rough indicator. So
if for those that don't really fully understand CPI or PCE, if you break that down a little bit, basically these are measures, consumer price index. It's an index that measures the change over time of certain categories of goods and services. And that is kind of the measure and the proxy for what inflation is. But PCE is a different form. It has a different allocation and types of
vastly different allocation. It's the same in many ways. It just measures a bucket of goods and services, and it just measures them in a different way. So, and they do track pretty close, right, to each other, but they are definitely different, and they're calculated different, and have different weightings for the components. But
right.
And
do you know the rationale for why the Fed uses PCE versus CPI? Like, what's kind of their position on that? The weightings are more accurate to what they're trying to track.
To what they care about. Yeah. So that's exactly right. So the bottom line is, I think the markets are doing a victory dance, right? Kind of saying, it's good, and now the Fed is going to ease. And there's a couple issues with that. First of all, 3.1 is not 2, and 2%, which is the Fed's target. And in the 2%, it's been slow. Inflation has not been coming down like I think people expected it to. And it's been a little more stubborn, which is exactly what we have been saying for a couple of years. We think that it's going to be stubborn. I've said rates are going to come down, but I think they're going to be hard to get down. And the Fed is not moving off their 2% target, not even a little bit.
Well, so I want to make a little point here because this is math, right? But a lot of people just assume 3%, it sounds pretty close to 2%.
Right.
What's the big deal? But if you think about it, it's actually 50% higher than 2%, right? So it's actually pretty big from a percentage standpoint, because on the GDP, which is the measure of the whole economy, that's a big number, right? So it is important. And even though it feels like, man, it's come down off the highs of 7 and 8%, it's still pretty far off the target.
Yeah. And the Fed, I think people are waiting for that, 3.1 to come down to the 2. And then as soon as it's 2, the Fed's going to start chopping interest rates. It's just, again, these guys, they don't think like you and me. They're not going to do that, in my opinion. I mean, they're going to let it sit around 2, maybe drop below 2, and they're going to watch it for a while. They're not in a hurry to recharge the economy. I mean, they've been working hard to get this economy tried to cool off. So they're going to wait for evidence, in my opinion. So again, I think rates are going to lag, and again, I can't remember if we've talked about this, but, historically, rates at 5 to 5.5%, it's normal, right? So we've got there's this idea that everyone wants rates to go back to normal. Well, that's exactly what they just did by releasing like this. People have a very short-term view of things. So inflation is a little higher. Now, we've also, we follow Jay Parsons, and we've had him on this podcast, and we love him, and he's a real estate-focused guy. And well, it turns out, rents are a big component of shelter, are the largest component of shelter, which is the largest component of CPI.
Right.
And the way the CPI calculates it, their formula is a very lagging formula. So what's happened, even though all we've seen rent growth stop really, really utterly for the last year and even drop, you're not seeing that in the CPI. The CPI is still showing increasing. So because it's so laggy, our view is that short term, you're going to see inflation continue to drop. Okay. And it's going to continue to come down because of shelter is this very laggy indicator. And the assumption of the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the guys that put together the CPI, is that rents don't change that often. Well, actually, they do. And so, whatever. It's just the way they construct it.
Well, in a normal economy, they don't, right? There's this kind of natural slight increases year over year. But when we had the level of increases we had in 21 and into 22, like they were the biggest rent increases that we'd seen in multiple decades, like massive. And so it creates this huge, rat inside of the snake that's just kind of trying to be gulped down. And it's this big right. lump that is throwing all the data off. And it's usually, about a 12-month lag from right. what rents are being reported on, what's the CPI. And so
as that negative rent growth goes through the snake, it's yeah. going to be result in lower inflation in the near term, let's say 6 to 18 months, from now. So we're going to see inflation continue to come down. Add to the fact that we're seeing energy prices, oil continues to just be in this bear market in spite of them refilling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and FIDO, in spite of OPEC and whatever. We're seeing energy prices come down, and energy prices are just volatile in the short term, right? We've never said, hey, we're the guys that are going to tell you exactly what's going to happen this week or this month or this year in commodity prices or anything. But what we're the guys that are saying, hey, the tide is the tide. And the tide is, in energy, we've seen a massive underinvestment in infrastructure and development of oil fields, massive. 55% down in the last 7 years. And that is going to have a huge downstream effect. And it's an energy crisis that is going to come in the next 5 or so years. But obviously the markets are saying, well, it's not this year, and which is great for us because we're buying oil fields. So, we'd rather be backing up the truck here and buying, while prices are low. But so you're seeing a counter trend move let's call that a buying opportunity. That's what counter trend moves are, always buying opportunities, right? So we're seeing a counter trend move. For long-term trend is there is, energy is going up. And we're also seeing softness in the jobs market. So again, there's so much noise out there, right? The headlines are, job market softens, but the reality is there is still more job openings than there are unemployed people, right?
Right.
and so it's kind of like, the market, the economy is still quite healthy. And then, latest Wall Street Journal article, Janet Yellen is saying, looks like soft landing, which again is what we have been saying for over 2 years now. And that, soft landing is in the cards. And it was because of the massive stimulus that happened and the fact that consumer, because of that, is on fire. This idea that, the past, this stimulus was completely different than every other stimulus ever done in history.
Right.
When you wire money to people's checking accounts, it changes things. Okay. That creates demand. And that's exactly what we saw, is trillions and trillions in artificial demand by government, direct stimulus, direct payments.
I think, it has felt like it's been this back and forth prediction of recession, soft landing, CPI is up, it's going down. And it's the headlines to see what the latest numbers is. But you have to look at the relative trend and the relative and also absolute, you know, where are things at right now? But it's also surprising, I think, to the market to even consider that a soft landing is possible, because we've never really seen that
never happened
in the past. I think the market has taken time to digest that, but all indications are pointing that way. And I think another, you know, consequence of that is, even if we do hit that 2% number, like you said earlier, the Fed's not going to all of a sudden just chop rates down. Okay, we hit our goal and we're good now. They're gonna, yeah, they want to see it sustained for a while. They've said as much, right? And so it's again, this higher for longer is, if they haven't caused a recession, what need do they have other than, you know, investors are, you know, throwing a fit that rates are higher, you know, and that is kind of their ultimate tool they have. There is a recession, right? It's to drop rates and to stimulate through, you know, cheaper money. And so they're going to be very reticent to cut it until they feel like this issue of inflation has been properly managed and over a period of time and feels under control, which is probably going to take some time. I was looking at the yield curve again. It's the yield curve has changed from predicting rate cuts, you know, in kind of early part of 2024 to potentially not even in 2024, right? I mean, maybe we see a small little 25 basis point cut potentially. I mean, and that's been a big shift from even a few months ago, where, you know, the market was anticipating earlier cuts and multiple cuts throughout the year.
You remember, it was like maybe 12 or 18 months ago, and you said to me, yeah, you know, inverted yield curve, Bob, you know, that's a gold standard for prediction of recession. I said, in the past,
yep.
But in the past, we didn't have stimulus that dumped trillions of dollars worth of cash in people's bank accounts. And, this is definitely different. And so, you know, you can't look at simplified measures, and you can't just read headlines. I'm telling you, you read the headlines, you're going to go insane. Okay. You know, because the headlines are, you know, as opposite as you can possibly be, and all based on data, right? Quote data, unquote. But it's not based on data. It's not really based on data. They pull one factor out, and they overanalyze it and blow it up into of supreme importance. You know, and then the yield curve is still negative and has been for an extended period of time. And, you know, and the yield curve just shows what the market thinks, you know, interest rates are going to be. It's really, the market has not been right, you know, in fact. So market's been wrong. And have markets ever been wrong before? You know, almost continuously, you know, think about the dot-com crash, or the, you know, when Amazon was selling for 30 cents a share, right? And, you know, was the market wrong? Yeah, majorly, you know?
Yep.
You know, so the markets are herd mentality driven by an open market auction of people's emotions, based on emotions and sentiment and narrative and headlines, right? And not based on data. So there's very little data that is weighing on the markets, you know,
yeah. Seems to be.
So I'm Mr. Anti-Public Markets, so I'm sure people could debate me and probably win, but, you know, I'm gonna just say it. So there it
right.
is.
And yeah, this is a little bit of a preview for an episode coming up. I think later this week or next week that you guys will hear. We talked with John Chang, who's one of our favorite economists with Marcus and Milicek. We talked about why the yield curve isn't the measure that it used to be, or the indicator that it used to be when you have an inverted yield curve.
He's one of the smartest guys out there, and I always learn something from this guy. And you know, he's just super studied and very articulate. He's able to say things very simply and very clearly and very very short sentences too, which I really appreciate, you know.
Right.
Economy of words.
Well, guys, hope this was helpful. And again, as you guys are enjoying this, please subscribe, rate the show, share with a friend, and give us feedback too. There's other things you're seeing or want us to comment on. We always love, you know, hearing from you all to respond to the questions and things you're seeing. And just as a little preview as well, as we go into 2024, Bob and I are working on putting together our economic forecast and updates to some of these macro trends. And we're kind of talking a little bit about them, but we're going to have a lot more data and kind of a holistic presentation that you should be excited for kind of going to 2024 with kind of a lot of updated charts and graphs. And if you know anything about Bob's presentations, you will definitely have plenty of charts to back up everything we're saying. So hope you enjoy. Thanks so much for tuning in, and until next time.